It's really true. We just need him. Amen? We just need him. God's been so good to us. His presence is so awesome. Do you regard him highly? I hope you do. I do. I just want to pray over you right now. And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, but I just want you to focus in on him. Because he really is with you. The first scripture that I want to read is one that we read all the time here at church. And so if you've got your card at home, you can read along with me. But listen to this and really apply this to your heart right now. We trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on our own opinions. With all our heart, rely on him to guide you. And he will lead you in every decision that you make and become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. God is for you. He's not against you. Amen? Hallelujah. You got to say amen a little bit louder at home because I'm not hearing it. Glory to God. In Psalm 55, of course, I wrote the wrong one down. Hallelujah. In Psalm 55, I'll get to the right place. I can't get to Psalm 55 if I'm in Isaiah. See, nothing changes. Whether you're here or you're at home, it's the same. Psalm 55 and verse 16. Come on, David went through some stuff. And he had to listen to the Lord, and he had to get what the Lord was saying to him, and he had to put things in the proper perspective, and that's what I'm asking for all of us to do at this time. My fingers aren't working. Psalm 55, verse 16. It says this. It says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and I will cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace and the battle that was against me, for there are many against me." We may be in a time even in our nation where it seems like everything's against us, but I'm telling you, God is for us. So whether it's the morning or the evening or whatever, just reach out to him. In fact, listen, don't feed your fear, feed your faith. Feed your faith. And what do I mean by that? I mean, take God at his word and trust that he will be with you and that he will take care of you. And in the 70th Psalm, listen to this. This is so good. "Make haste, O God," first verse, "to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of the shame who say, 'Aha, aha.' Let those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation continually, let God be magnified." At this time, I want God to be magnified. Even while we're going through the sitting at home, let God be magnified. God be magnified. How does that mean? Make him bigger than this. In your mind, in your heart, make him bigger than this, because he is. I know we're all without paychecks and all those kind of things, but God is bigger than that. In fact, I just want to tell you, God is huge. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of your home. He's going to take care of the church. I am not in fear over anything. But as we're going through this together. So our phones still work. If you need help with something, call somebody, let them know. And also, listen, if you're in a situation where somebody comes to your heart, pick up the phone and call them. There's a lot of people that you know that may be at home, and think about this, that some live by themselves. And so I think it'd be great for us to pick up the directory, pick up, you know, just go through your phone and say, who do I need to call today? And let God speak to you so that we can continue to be one in Jesus' name. Now, this psalm, a lot of people have been praying over each other, but I think it's one that we should just pray over ourselves right now and think about this. In Psalm 91, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord." Have you said of the Lord lately? Come on, if you haven't, you need to. "I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." Don't say, "I don't know what I'm going to do." Don't say, "I don't know how it's going to turn out." Don't say any of those things. Say, "I will trust in the Lord because He's my refuge. He's my fortress." Come on, He's my God, and in Him will I trust. "Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with the feather of, with His feathers, and under His wings shall you take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday." Come on, we cannot let terror or fear be a part of us. Watch this. You know, there's people lining up to get toilet paper, right? It's just crazy, right? That's just fear. That's all that is fear. Listen, be in a place where God can use you to give to your neighbor. Reach out in love to people and say, God just put you on my heart, you know, here, take a pack of toilet paper. I mean, you know, whatever is needed, call people, see what they need. And if you've got it, give it away. Why? Because don't hoard it, because God will give it back to you. He'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. Come on, because He's with you. So at this time, Lila's going to come up and give us a word from the Lord. And she's been praying about this. See, Renita and I are supposed to be in Hawaii right now. How's my tan look? but we've went over and visited with Tom and Leslie in Eastern Washington. But now, Lila was going to preach to the congregation, so she's going to preach to you on Facebook, and we're excited about. I don't know if "preach" is the right term, but she's going to fill you with. She's going to fill you with a good word. And receive it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Lila.
So I think I turned it on right. I'm good? Okay. So I'd like for us to just take a little journey this morning. Amen. And we're going to go to Isaiah 37. Hallelujah. And this is a prophecy that Isaiah had over the Israelites. It's called the dry bone. We know it as the dry bone passage. I love it because the whole thing is just cool to me. I'm going to read it. "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then He caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry." Isaiah 37. We have some of the people here that don't know quite to go. It's Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was the one, not Isaiah. Sorry about that. I was looking at Isaiah earlier today. I'm going to start over. So this is Ezekiel 37. "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then He caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And He said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, You know.' Again He said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Oh, these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. So I think that is so cool. I think I skipped verse 7 because that one part is really cool where it says he heard the sound of the rattling. And yeah. So it is really cool. So what I wanted to share with you this morning is something that God has been stirring in my own spirit since about the beginning of the year. I've just sensed that there's something new and exciting happening in the spirit realm. In my spirit, I sense it to be an awakening, an awakening call. I sense God is moving in hearts that have been dead or complacent, and they're waking up. I believe this is a time that the prodigals are coming home, and I sense in my spirit that there's a new hunger, and it's being placed in the heart of many Christians. I believe we're in a time of waking up from our slumber. Dry bones are coming to life. Holy Spirit is breathing a fresh wind. I believe that the church as a whole is becoming more and more desperate to be surrounded by the glory of God. God's children are being called to wake up. I see it happening in our body. When there was people here, you could sense a new wave of Holy Spirit just coming over. People were more excited about getting into His presence. There's a fresh wind blowing. God is calling His church to come alive. And He's calling people to be aware of His glory. So what is His glory? Quite a few number of years ago, I did a study on God's glory because I wanted to know, what does that mean? You know, they talk about the glory cloud and that the glory of God is His presence. Amen. That is what it is. Very simple. We only understand a little bit right now because we're not with Him in heaven to experience the fullness of His glory. But His glory is His presence. The Word of God says where two or three are gathered in His name, He's there. Amen. The Word of God says, do not fear, I will be with you. He's with you. The Word of God says that He inhabits the praises of His people. If we praise Him and lift up the name of Jesus, He is here in our midst. Even if we're at home praising Him, He's there because He inhabits the praises of His people. So God is calling us to awaken our spirits and become aware of who He is. If we allow our spirits to wake up, our eyes will be awakened to His fullness. We will be able to acknowledge Him in every single aspect of life. We can see His beauty and creativity in nature. His compassion that pours over us daily. If you stop and you think about how many times you were saved from a catastrophe. Amen. You're in your car. Somebody almost hit you, like happened to us not too long ago. Yeah. That was God. Amen. He sent His angels to take charge over you and prevent that catastrophe. And we go, that was just a coincidence. No, it wasn't. It was God. It was God. God is watching over each one of us. And the times that we're living in, this is a time where we see a lot of evil and a lot of fearful things, especially right now. Media has become our idol. It really has. We absorb it all like a sponge. You know, idols can be just about anything. They come in forms of our past, our culture, our work, anything that takes that spot in our heart where our thoughts and our concerns go to. The purpose of an idol is to steal our heart from Christ to something that we think will satisfy our senses. Idols come through our sense gates, sight, hearing, smell, touch, taste. We think they will satisfy our flesh, but they end up devouring us spiritually because no longer are we focused on God's presence, but our focus becomes on thoughts that satisfy the flesh. Our flesh wants to fear. Our flesh wants to be discouraged. Our flesh wants to be anxious, wants to doubt. Idols will fulfill that desire. They really will. When we allow an idol to take hold, the very life of Christ is sucked out of us, and we become as dry bones. The prophet Isaiah was sent to the Israelites also, and he... he noticed and that they were starting to look at idols also instead of to God. In Isaiah 40, verse 26, go to that. Isaiah 40, verse 26. We read, lift up your eyes on high and see who created these things. Who brings out their host by number? He calls them by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Isaiah was trying to get the Israelites to understand the stupidity of trusting in idols. Amen. When the answer was to look to God. He was trying to get them to visualize the greatness of God, to look at God's creation, and to visualize his power and his might. He was trying to get them to understand how God has given us such a treasure in nature. We can see and experience the power of God in every single sunset, every cloud, the mountains, the wind, the trees, all that he has created. And he said it was very good. So a great portion, I believe, of the awakening to God is to acknowledge him in every single aspect of our life. If we are focused on the idols in our lives and the idols of our flesh, we become blinded in our ability to see God, and then we will become as dry bones. As I was preparing to speak about this move that I feel is happening, it's really been burning in my heart. And as I'm studying this, I have to ask myself, have I fallen asleep? Do I have some dry bones attached to me? Have I gone through the motions like we sang? Yeah. If so, I want to be awakened. Yeah. So the Lord took me to the seven churches in Revelation, chapter 3. I think most of us, we've heard a lot of sermons about the church in Laodicea, the one that was lukewarm, that he would spit out of his mouth. I know as a kid I always visualized that. And we are warned many times about the consequences of being lukewarm. But what about the Sardinian church? It had a reputation for being alive, but it was dead. Have I lost excitement for the future? Have I focused more on the past than on the present? Am I being inspired by past victories rather than by the one who is victorious? That's what happened to the church in Sardis. Chapter 3, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The church in Sardis had become dead because it no longer looked to the heavens. It had made idols out of programs and reputations. The church in Sardis was told to remember how they received the word. They were told to hold fast to that and repent. In this awakening, I feel that there's a real call to repentance, a call that we need to take seriously. Over the last decade plus, we've seen many leaders of great mega churches falling. Yeah. We've seen small churches disintegrate. Yeah. Why is that? If we look at the example of the church in Sardis, is it because idols were made? Yeah. Idols of programs? Come on. Idols of reputation? Yeah. Whatever took the heart's desire away from God, had become an idol. Because at one time, the church in Sardis had a reputation for being alive, but they'd fallen asleep. So we need to remember for ourselves to rely on Christ to bring the lost to himself. Not on programs and reputations, but Christ will bring the lost to himself. When the word of God is preached, Christ will draw all men unto him. The people in Sardis, they had really lost focus of bringing the lost to Christ. And I see that so much, you know, even in my own life, as I'm pondering all of this, that I need to repent. I need to go before God. Yes. I sense a need to ask God to search out my heart, to show me where my sin is, to show me where I'm in agreement with it, to show me where I've made up idols and excuses, to show me where I've been more concerned about my own reputation than about the call to bring in the lost. We need God to separate holiness from fleshly thoughts and opinions. We need to humble ourselves and pray. Yes. So I've asked God, you know, God, take me up to that mountain that looks over the valley of dry bones and show me my heart. Yes. Show me my actions, my thoughts, my words. Check out the motives of my heart. God, where have I allowed a dry bone to attach itself to my spirit? And dry bones, you know, as God's calling us to life, the dry bones can really be anything. It can be a dry bone of addiction. Yeah. It can be a dry bone of programs, of a dry bone of anything that will take our focus from God and become the center of our thoughts. So I'd just like to challenge everyone, even as you're listening, to go on up to that mountain in your quiet place. Go on up to the mountain and look over the valley in your own life and see, ask God, show me if there's any dry bones here in my life. And then when God shows you, repent and embrace his mercy. If we open up our spiritual ears as we're on that mountain looking over that valley, we will hear the sound of rattling of bones. So what do we do then? We prophesy to the breath. We prophesy and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come out, O four winds, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And Isaiah says, I prophesied, Ezekiel, as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. This is where God is taking us in this spiritual awakening. Yeah. He desires that we become soldiers in this great, exceeding great army, an army that will lay hands on the sick and be the witness to the healing power of God. Signs and wonders will be seen following the preaching of the word, even to the nations. Repentance will flow into hearts that have been bound, and God's glory will be manifested as we witness the miracles, the signs, and the wonder. There is really a new wind blowing. It's coming from the north and the south and the east and the west. And this new wind is coming together like a whirlwind. It's bringing us up higher. It's a whirlwind of God's glory rising to the heavens. As we praise and worship the Lord of all creation, we can just go up into that glory and meet with him. So I'm all in. I want to be fully awakened in all areas of my life. I want to hear the rattling of any dry bones. I want to be in that army. I want to acknowledge God in every single part of my life, even in those areas that I don't understand, because I don't need to understand. I only need to trust and obey. I want to lift my eyes to the heavens every day of my life and acknowledge his beauty, his faithfulness, his love. I want to wear his glory, his presence. So I would encourage all of us to just stop the wheels for a moment, go on up to that mountain, and view your own life. So if you see a dry bone here or there, you may see a lot, you maybe see one, usually he shows us one at a time, you may just have to give up discouragement, fear, or doubt. Do you want to see life come back? Do you want to experience the power of the four winds of the Spirit as the clouds of dust are blown away? Do you want to be awakened to become your own reality? Do you want to hear that sound of the rattling of bones and prophesy over them? I want to get on board with what God's doing right now in this space and time. I want to experience His presence in every single aspect of my life. So we need to determine that every day is a new day to experience God's glory. Every day, let's allow ourselves to witness His miracles. Let's choose to lift up our eyes to the heavens and see His hand at work. Let's choose to acknowledge, even as we look at the stars in the heavens, our God created those and He called them all by name. Let's choose to discard discouragement. Let's cast out the fear and the doubt. Let's agree to look to the heavens and rely on His power and His promises. His word says, greater is He that lives in you than he that lives in the world. Believe it, wear it. This is an awakening of trusting in God and who He is. I believe that in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, there's a scripture in this time that we really need to adhere to. Yep. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And heal their land.
Yes.
Our land is in need of healing at this moment.
Yep.
And a lot of times we depend on our neighbor to pray. We depend on the pastor to pray. But this scripture says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, go to your closet and pray. Seek His face. If He shows you anything in your own heart that shouldn't be there, repent. And you will hear from heaven.
Amen.
He will forgive your sin. He will heal this land.
Amen.
How do I turn this off?
Just have it to me.
Right there.
Oh.
It's right there.
Thank you.
That was awesome. That was so good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That was really good, Lila. Thank you. Thank you. You know, we're sitting in our homes now because it's not that we don't have anything better to do, but we're being safe and we're. But, you know, what Lila said was so important. And now no one has an excuse that they're too busy, right? So as a church, why don't we set an alarm on our phone? And when that alarm goes off, to pray. And just begin to seek God and ask God, not only for us personally, but for our nation. You know, our president has asked the church to pray. Are we going to step up and do it, or are we going to let somebody else do it? And so it's not that difficult, and you do have the time. So why not set an alarm and begin to get with the Lord? And how long? How long should I do that? Well, you know, 8-10 hours would be good, but if you can only do it 15 minutes, do it 15 minutes. But Jesus said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour, to His disciples? And I think we all have that time. I'm not saying you have to pray for an hour, but you can read your word. You can listen to a podcast. You can get involved and let the Lord begin to speak to your heart. But I would really encourage you to learn to be quiet before the Lord. And however you need to do that, some people do that with worship. Some people do it with meditating on the word. Some do it by praying in tongues until their minds settle down so that they can hear, so that you can hear from God. I pray that you would set an alarm. And as a church, as a New Beginning Family Christian Center, let us begin to pray and say, God, what does this have to do with me? What does this sermon have to do with me? Holy Spirit, how am I supposed to implement this into my life? And then, Lord, help me to be the blessing that you want me to be. So let's pray. And I want to just pray like I would pray here on a Sunday morning. So if you're listening to me, I want you just to bow your head and close your eyes. And first of all, I would just ask, do you know Jesus? Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? If you haven't, now's a great time. And I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. So if you're away from Jesus, you haven't been with him, you feel like your bones are dry and brittle, if you pray this prayer and mean it from your heart, life will come back into you. So right now, this moment, just pray this with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you right now. You know my heart even better than I know my own. I know that I've missed it. I know that I've not done what you want me to do. So I ask you to forgive me. But I want to go past that, Lord. And I want to change my life so that your life can flow through me. I believe in my heart, and so I'm confessing with my mouth that Jesus is Christ and that, God, you've raised him from the dead. So I dedicate my life to him in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. If you're at home and you're feeling you have sickness in your body, I want to pray for you just like I'd pray here. I can't personally lay hands on you, but I can pray in the Spirit, and in the Spirit there's no time or distance. So right now I want to pray for you, and I believe God's going to touch your body. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over every sick person, and I curse the sickness in the name of Jesus. By your stripes, Lord, we were healed. And God, I ask you to touch them and to heal them, and God will give you the praise and the glory and the honor, just as you've done over and over and over again, Lord. I thank you for your mercy being over every person that's listening to this broadcast. And Father, we just want to give you the glory and the honor for all that you've done in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I would encourage you, if you haven't downloaded the app for A New Beginning Family Christian Center, go to the App Store and download it. There's lots of things on there. There's devotional. There's all kinds of things that you can start to get used to. My daughter Donnie's done a great job with the app. So begin to use it, and just be faithful to what God has told you to do. So that's AMBFCC in the App Store, and you can download it and follow the prompts. It'll tell you exactly what to do. God bless you. We're glad that you came with us. We want you to be blessed, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.